headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I am Jim Galante. He is Greg Pickle. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number four, which means it's time for Ask Greg. And of course, at the end of the show, end of the segment, Greg is going to select the best question. And whoever that questioner was gets a free KSN polo shirt. So, lot to play for here, Greg. And just to let our listeners know, we've been going through the questions pretty quickly here. Last week, I know we went through eight of them. So if you want your question answered, go to our app. It's, if you don't have it, it's Keystone Sports. Download it from the App Store. There's an Ask Greg button. Hit that. Real easy. Just give us your question, and you may end up winning a KSN polo shirt out of the deal. All right, let's get started here, Greg, with Brad from Doylestown. Brad says, thank you guys for all you do. It's great hearing you guys during this time. It's a great break from everything else going on. Well, thank you, Brad. We appreciate that. Brad's question is, with the XFL filing Chapter 11 bankruptcy, do you think Penn State tries to find a recruiting role for Justin King? It seemed like he did a great job while on the staff.
Yeah, so let me answer that in two ways. Do I think Penn State would love to find a way to bring Justin King back and to add a role for him? Yes, absolutely. Do I think the current economic realities brought about by the coronavirus pandemic mean that Penn State can add a spot on its staff for Justin King? No, I do not. I don't think it'd be a good look. I don't think the funding is particularly there. I don't think that is something that Penn State can do at this time. And it's a shame because I know that they would love to find some way to bring him back. He was an integral and vital part of that recruiting office when he was with the Lions. But right now, even though his, you know, space seems to be open for him, Jim, there's just not a good time to, again, be bringing people back into the program or adding staff, salary, and so on and so forth.
All right. That was Brad from Doylestown. Next up, Dominic from Cranberry Township, our old buddy. He asked, Penn State's harvesting a good crop of players from Michigan. They're also in on three other top 10 Michigan players, Jamari Boudin, Donovan Edwards, and Rocco Spindler. Which of these three, Greg, do you believe has the highest probability of becoming a Nittany Lion? And which of the three would you most want to be a Nittany Lion?
Well, I think when you look at that question, Jim, that's a good one. I think when you look at the breakdown there, obviously Penn State's done a nice job recruiting in that area and that state and that part of the country so far this year. I mean, to me, I got to lean with Edwards here. He's a four-star running back, the number three running back in the country. Penn State's been so good at recruiting that position. You never want that to stop. Do I obviously think Spindler and Dellinger would be good gets? Yeah, but I think both are probably going to look elsewhere. Edwards probably could too, but he's just the one that when you can continue to lock up some of the nation's best running backs, it's a great sign for the future. So I think I would lean to him if you made me pick one of those guys for Penn State to get.
Interesting. All right. And they definitely are making inroads into Michigan. Next up, James from Mechanicsburg. Greg, I'm looking at Penn State's newly released roster, and I'm seeing that the fifth string running back is a 5'7", 220-pound redshirt freshman named Tank Smith. Who is Tank? And simply based on the name and position, he's my theoretical blue and white game MVP. And before you answer the question, I just want to reiterate that 5'7", 220 pounds. A couple more weeks in lockdown and me close to my refrigerator, I may be matching Tank's statistics pretty soon, Greg. All right.
There you go, Jim. Yeah, no, he's a former Western Pennsylvania high school player, a very good one. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was at St. Francis before he came to Penn State.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
And a lot of people have asked, is he related to Terry Smith? That I don't have the answer to. It's a good question. I just don't know right off the top of my head. But yeah, he's a guy who, you know, again, provides a little bit of a different skill set in that running back room than what Penn State has previously. Obviously, they have a lot of limber, fast guys. He's a little bit more of a short yardage back, I think, from the prototype anyway. So we'll see if they find a role for him. Obviously, they got some pretty good talent in front of him.
Yep. I think everyone just wants to see a guy who's 5'7", 220 pounds, named Tank, on the football field. All right. Next up is Steve from Potomac, Maryland. Just a hint here, Steve won last week, so Steve can't win this week, but he asked a good question. Hey, guys, really appreciate all you're doing these podcasts during this time. Also want to say thanks for the KSN polo, which looks great. Thank you, Steve. Anyway, my question is this. Assuming a spring football season, would early enrollees be eligible to play if they're on campus in January?
Yes. So in terms of, I guess pretty sure I understand that question, right? So he's asking that the guys that came in January, are they all eligible to play?
Not past January. Let's say a recruit that we're talking about, let's say Caleb Williams commits to Penn State this coming season and enrolls early in January. Would he be able to play if they push the football season back to the spring?
Oh, that's a great question. Okay, I follow now. Sorry, I misunderstood what he was getting at there for a second. But yes, I can't see why not. I mean,
you answer the question, I want to throw something else out because I saw this question yesterday and I was like, yeah, good. I would think they'd be allowed. But here's the thing, though. How about the 85-man scholarship limit? If your seniors aren't graduating yet and are still going to be there, if you don't have openings.
I mean, I think you almost have to if you're moving this, because you can't delay kids going to school. That just, again, that would, unless, again, at some point here, if they want to admit that it's obviously more athlete, you know, if it's more about the business of college football than the student athlete experience with the student emphasize, you know, part emphasize, it's fine. But if they want to move it back, you can't tell kids that they can't come to college when they were supposed to. So I think if that is the case, it's a fair point and a fair question, but they're going to have to either temporarily or permanently expand the number of countable scholarships. And then from there, you know, you have to obviously have those guys go through the same acclimation stuff that all the rest of the roster does. And this, you know, but I don't see any reason why they couldn't play if they checked off those boxes.
You know, I just don't think that I think it's one of those things, Greg, where it's the unintended consequences that they hadn't really thought through yet. Because what if, you know, this past year, what did Penn State have, 10, 11 guys who came in early?
Yes.
If they have 10 or 11 guys come in early again, that would theoretically take their scholarship number from 85 to 95. So
right.
They would have to make a special ruling to do that. I just don't think that they've thought that through. You know, and does it create an unfair balance if, again, Penn State brings in, say, 10 early enrollees, but someone else that they're playing didn't bring in any early enrollees? So you have a 95-man roster versus an 85-man roster.
Yeah, I mean, I think it certainly could get to that point, and that's kind of where all this gets so messy. You know, it's great to have this eye in the sky, you know, hope that some of these things are enacted and the hope that some of these things become reality, but there's so many moving parts that have to be considered before anything hard and fast is determined that it's going to make it really challenging no matter what they decide to do. This is just yet another part of the conversation that will have to take place.
All right, let's move on. Next up is Bill from Philadelphia. Hi, Greg. I saw that Clemson offered Christian Velu. And at what point does Penn State need to be realistic with their remote chances of landing Caleb Williams and heavily pursue Velu? Feel like there's a good chance Penn State could miss out on both and have to settle on a lower-tier quarterback.
certainly as possible. I'm not going to sit here and say that it isn't. However, I think that it's unfair to suggest that Penn State's not recruiting both of those guys as hard as they possibly can. Obviously, I think you would take both of them if they both wanted to come to Penn State. Now, I think we all know that's very unlikely, if not impossible. So I don't think you have to worry about that. And so, at this point, could they lose Williams to Oklahoma and Ballou to Clemson? Sure, absolutely. Do I think that's going to be the case? No, I think they get one of them. And as we talked about earlier in the show, I think Christian's the more likely of the two to eventually end up at Penn State. So right now, Jim, I get the question, and it certainly is possible, but I don't think it's by any means a lock that both of those guys end up elsewhere and Penn State misses out on both.
Gotcha. All right. I'm going back. If we have questions that sort of linger on here, not that they're not good questions, but we just don't get to them. But let me go back. AJ from Los Angeles, he asked, with the additions of Theo Johnson, who former wide receiver, and Tyler Warren, former quarterback, any chance that Franklin and Kurt Sciarocca decide to try one of these guys at the X position for next season? I think their size and athleticism would be welcomed in the passing game.
Sure. I don't think it's completely out of the question. Again, one of the harder parts about not having spring practice, Jim, is that we don't know what kind of wrinkles Kurt Sciarocca is going to put into place. And look, they wouldn't maybe show us those things during open practices or during the blue-white game if either of those things were to occur. But I don't think it's out of the question. Kurt Sciarocca is one thing you can endlessly take away from his talks with the media is that he is going to start with his playmakers. And who are the guys that they have to have on the field? Who are the guys they have to, put in position to make plays? And then after that, they're going to figure out when it's best to have those guys on the field and at what spots on the field. So, yeah, I wouldn't rule that out. I wouldn't rule out anything with Kirk Sciarocca. Two backs, possible. More spread out wide receivers and using some of the tight ends as wide outs and not on the line wide or, on the line tight ends or H-backs, that's certainly possible. I'd rule out a fullback and I'd be a little bit uncertain about going under center. But other than that, I think everything's on the table at this point in time.
And they may not even officially say, okay, this guy's playing the X position, but they could put in multiple tight ends and do different things with them. And you beat me to the punch. I brought up the thought last week when I had Andy and Bob on of having a two running back situation because there's just so much talent there. Andy Shea shot me down so fast, Greg, he just bitch slapped me. That's no, Jim, it's not going to happen. So I'm still hoping that we see that. All right, Greg, I think that's we won't be able to get in another question. So it's time for us to pick out a winner. I thought there were some good questions today. Is there any one of them that stood out to you?
Let's go with the last one there. That got you a little bit wound up, Jim. AJ in LA. I like it.
Very good. Yes, AJ. You know what? It's funny. Some of these questions linger because we have a tendency to go to the brand new questions of the week. And then I scroll back to the older questions, and there's some really good ones there that we just never happened to get to. So anyway, AJ, look for the email. We'll be reaching out to you. That is it for this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. We'll see you next time.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma or the crisp, clean finish. That all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.
This is Jim Galante with the Keystone Sports Network. We know there are a lot more important things going on than whether there are any sports. But we'd like to give you a little break from everything else happening in our world with some Penn State football talk. College football will come back, In the meantime, we hope you enjoy the Keystone Kickoff Show. Find all our shows at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the app Keystone Sports. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.